God, thank you for today. God, thank you that this is the day that you've made, and we rejoice in that, God, as we come together. God, I know there's so many things on hearts, so many things on mind, people's minds and distractions and things that are going on. And God, we just come to you and say, would you encounter a people? Because we know, God, in your presence, there's fullness of joy. That we have access to that promise that we can be joyful in the most chaotic time of our lives because your peace is there, because you're here, that the atmosphere does change because of you. And so, God, I pray the truth of your word, the truth of who you are, will come alive in us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I wanted to mention Jeff's wife is also here. Martha, why don't you stand up and give a little wave? Come on. So, appreciate them. The practicality of Friday night with our marriage event, them sharing, is so practical, just the things that they shared. So, so thankful for them. And if you weren't here, just, you missed it. I don't know what else to say. You missed it. And that's real. So, starting a two-week series called We, Doing Life Together. 2 years ago, I had a dream, and in this dream, it was very simple and very vague, okay? Didn't mean a lot to me except that I wrote it down, I put it in a message, and in the message I meant to share it, and I never shared it. Kind of dismissed it, and then Sunday night I had the exact same dream, which to me, I wanted to know, does that mean something? I have a friend. And this friend has, in the past, whether you believe this or not, it's true for me. I'm convinced of it. She, in the past, has interpreted dreams. And she has spoken things into my family's life after we've had a dream that she knew nothing about. And it was just God just speaking through that dream. And so I asked her the significance of having the same dream twice. Okay? She instantly said, was it a certain season of your life? Something happened similar. She asked me, before she ever knew the dream, she's asking me questions about, you know, this to dream, when you have a dream a second time, it typically means God's trying to make you aware of something. God's trying to speak something to you. And then I told her the dream, and this is how vague it was. I'm in front of a house. I don't know the house. I don't know the people behind me. But in front of me is reporters. In front of me is TV cameras, crews, just TV crews, vans. I mean, I see that in front of me, and I'm standing at a podium, and a question is asked of me, and the question is, can you explain what just happened? To which I respond, I can't explain it. I just know this is what Jesus did. That was it. So she asked me, is there a certain season? And so I went back, I looked at my notes. In my notes, when I put dream, the week before that, I talked to us at the church 2 years ago about the Holy Spirit. And so Sunday night, to have the same dream after last weekend, I said, could you please help me understand after I explained to her the dream? And she says, God is trying to get us to be aware that the gospel, the good news, isn't just for these four walls, but that it's for us to experience outside of these four walls. And I believe that's what we get to be a part of. This is not a Jamie thing, this is a we thing, okay? And the if you read the New Testament, there's 132 times where Jesus encountered people, okay? Six of them were in the temple. Four were in the synagogue, and 122 times that Jesus encountered people, it was in the marketplace of life. That tells me 122 times of the 132 times Jesus encountered people doing everyday things, doing everyday life, around crazy people that you work with, around people that you go to family with, that this is who God encounters outside of this gathering. This isn't for me to dismiss this gathering. This isn't for me to say, oh, we shouldn't even gather. This is a confirmation of what God has done in the marketplace. So when we come in and we start talking about worship, to me, it's an excitement of worship. Not that I'm worshiping for the first time this week in my church. It's that I've been worshiping all week, and I've been seeing God do things all week. And so now it's easy for me to come in and say, God, you are good, or God, you are faithful, or nothing is impossible because I've seen it this week. So to me, it's a celebration. That's why Psalms 133:1 says what it says. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. He didn't say disruptive. He didn't say disagreeing. He didn't say they're all the same and they look the same. They're cookie cutters and now it's trendy, so you got a plaid shirt on with a beard. He didn't say any of those things. He said how good and pleasant it is when God's people, and we are diverse, and we bring something different to the table, and your personality is your personality, and God wants you to be you, and God wants you to thrive in the giftings that you have. Stop trying to be a cookie cutter of something that you are not. God can use who you are and what your body and personal and all of that is, the giftings and all those things. You bring that to the table, and you make the church unique in who you are. That's good. Amen. What God does, it is incredible. Because it stops you from making the excuse that, God, surely you can't use me here. Or God, there must not be a plan because look how different I am from everybody else. Or God, look what I'm going through, so this disqualifies me from being used by you, where God goes, no, now I've given you an opportunity where you think you're disqualified. It now qualifies you because someone is going through what you just came out of. And because you came out of it, now all of a sudden you're speaking something to someone's life and they're going, how do you know that? You go, because I've been there. God got me through that so I can speak to that. Yeah? Acts 2:42 passage continuing that we read last week in Acts chapter 2, reading up to 42. So I'll continue reading that. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing the meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. Your passage or your translation might say, confidence instead of awe. It might say something like a convincing happened. If you read deeper into awe, it says that the apostles and the believers were convinced that Jesus is the only way. There was a convincing that happened because you and I really, when it comes down to it, it's not so much what we're going through as much as we understand that you and I need to be convinced that Jesus is the only way. And that when you're convinced, it doesn't matter what comes your way because you're convinced that He is the only way. You need to be convinced. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. And they worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. People were cooking. Amen. And eating. Come on, somebody. And all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. We go from 120. Jesus appears to 500. He says, hey, you 500, go wait. I'm going to give you the promise of the Holy Spirit. 120 of them were convinced that the Holy Spirit was coming. 380 missed out. 120 were there. Peter gets up. He preaches. 3,000 people say, I want what he has. They start asking questions. Listen, you want to know if you're bearing fruit from your life? Are people asking you questions? It said when Peter preached, they said, what are we going to do with what he just said? My heart is pierced. What's happening? If people don't leave our presence and they get a sense of awe and love, not of you, but who's in you, then I think we need to reflects on our lives of God. Why is there not fruit coming from my life? When we leave people, are they better or are they worse? It's just a simple question. Not based on, well, that's honest. It's not based on whether you're having a good day or not. It's not based on whether you had your coffee or not. It's not based on where your job is. It's not based on what your coworkers do. It's based on how are you responding to what God is asking and requiring of you. Okay? So when people leave you, do they go, man, that guy's really enjoyable to be around? Or do they go, I don't ever want to be around that guy? Are they leaving you and going, man, what love flows from that guy? And guess what? Guess what? You know when the most of you is going to flow out of you? When something tragic has happened to you. Someone treats you bad, what flows out of you? That's what people are watching for. Not that you walked in all happy, man, I had a good morning, I was going to church, and man, I was just happy, and when I got there, man, I just got the joy of the Lord, and then somebody said something. When do most fights happen between a husband and a wife? On your way to church? So you come in, you're like, someone said something, and it was my wife, or my husband, or my crazy kids that are like my wife. Then the real you comes out. What do they see? What do they see? So he comes and he says, you know, there's a card that we have at the front of the entrance. And it's a one another card because there's 21 verses on there that talk about one another. How you love one another, how you forgive one another, how you treat one another, how you encourage one another. All of this has to do with the fact that God ask us to do life with one another. And some of us do this really well. Some of this is really easy. Some of us is a challenge because we'd rather do things on our own. So when the Bible talks about us doing this together, and before you read Acts 2:42 and go, wow, this looks like a Waco thing. This looks like a thing where they're drinking Kool-Aid and wearing overalls, and I don't even know what's happening here. Before we read Acts 2:42 and say, is God asking me to sell everything and to join some guy and buy some property at the end of Columbia and all of us just live in harmony together? No, that's not what he's saying. These were Jews who were excommunicated because they believed in Jesus and they were no longer allowed, okay? So these, instead of not being allowed, they didn't just give up. They said, let's do life together because you and I are better together. And that really means two things. I'm better when you're in my life. And you're better when I'm in your life. I got one convinced today. We are better together. We are better in doing life together. And there's going to be a moment where you need, and there's going to be a moment where you're needed. How do I rise to that occasion? Meaning, when you're going through it, are you letting people in to help you through it? And meaning, when you know someone's going through it, are you welcoming that you're going to be the one that helps? And you're going to be the one that resources? And you're going to be the one that says, how can I do my part? What is my part? Are we actually better together, or is that just something cute that we bought from Hobby Lobby because they play Christian music without the words? Is it a cute saying, or is it something that we do? Is it something that we are? Ephesians says it this way, verse 11. Now these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of His body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. He's saying there's a moment in your life where you're so immature that you need someone to coddle you, and you need someone to feed you, and you need someone to walk with you, and you need someone to hold your hand. He says, but don't stay there. Don't stay there. That the church's job, the role of the leadership, is to equip you so that you leave here and you become children and of Christ that are maturing, that are growing. That's the point. And there's some of you, you don't need coddling. You don't need fed. You just need, hey, here's green pastures. Or as Jeff said yesterday morning in our worship time, here's opportunity for you. Go, do your thing. You don't need pushed. You need opportunities. You need support. You need a, we got you. We're behind you. You need that. But some of you, you come in hurt. You come in wounded. You have scars. You have wounds. You need someone to hold you. You need someone to wrap your wounds. You need that. And you got to take care of yourself. Because if you're in this room and you're wounded, and you're not letting people know that you're wounded, and you're hiding it, we're not better together. We're not. We're messed up. We're not who we could be. We're not maturing. We're immaturing. We're not being an influence. And this is what 1 Corinthians talks about. Let's look there. 1 Corinthians verse 12 of chapter 12. The human body has many parts, but many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. He's saying, you're all a little different, and that's okay. You look different, you act different, your giftings are different, your personality's different. It's okay. That unity is not us agreeing on everything. I give you permission to disagree. I give you permission to not all be on the same page. But I also give you permission to move forward despite not always being on the same page. You think me and that beautiful woman over there agree on everything? And despite me always being right, she loves me. All right, maybe that wasn't true. Here's this passage talking about King David in 1 Samuel 23. And David is anointed king. He knows he's going to be king. And he's in this waiting period. And the Bible says that Jonathan's dad, Saul, is trying to kill him. And it says this, that Jonathan comes to him at Horesh. And it says, Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. Like, that's what you need to see. The we together is not that you find strength in me, it's that you find strength in God. It's not that we come together and you say, hey, here's what I did. I did step A, B, and C. You do that. It's going to be awesome. You'll be fine. It's not that. It's this is what God did. Find strength in Him and you'll be able to overcome. This is us doing it together, that we find strength in God. The problem that you and I usually have is we like to copy one another's behaviors. And what happens, and the tendency, and the danger is now all of a sudden we're copying one another. And it's not my relationship with Christ. It's your relationship with Christ that I'm copying. So when it gets hard, I come to you and go, what do I do now? Instead of going to Him. This is the danger as parents, that we don't live our relationship with Christ through our kids so that they at 22 and 23 and 25 years old go, I don't know what to do. I've always done what I've done because mom and dad did it. They've never learned to find strength in Him for them. And now when life gets hard, and kids, it will get hard. I know you live in a safety environment of a beautiful community, but it will get difficult, and life will happen, and crazy things will happen. And if you don't find your own strength in Him, this is what Jonathan's doing with David. He's pointing him to finding strength in him. Verse 14 of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. Yes, the body has many parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? And if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? This is what we have a tendency to do. We come into the church, we feel like our role is this, and we come in and we say, well, there's a lot of hands here, so I must not be a part, I need to go somewhere else. But maybe God is saying, you have a part to play, and that part that you play might not be a hand, it might be a foot, and all of a sudden we try to copy everybody, now we got a bunch of hands in the church, and we're all on the same page, but all we're doing is doing and doing and doing, and nobody's a mouth, and nobody's a foot, and nobody's doing the other things that the body's supposed to be doing, and we understand it from a physical standpoint. If my ear is on my nose, and my nose is on my toe, you're looking at me like I'm deformed, because I am. Yet the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians, Paul to the Corinthian church, he has this description: is the body or the church of Christ is to function like our bodies function. And you have to know your role, and you have to understand what God has called you to do. And when you understand your role, the church is healthy. When you don't understand your role, the church is confused. And it all comes down to this: we need you. Well, I just help in kids. 9 to 9:30, 10, 10:30. I'm just playing around with kids, wiping butts and cleaning up snot. Is that really a role? I don't know. Their mom and dad encountered Jesus that day, and they were never the same. And that they couldn't have done that had you not played a role. And you might see it as a small, significant role, but God looks at it and says, thank you for doing your part. Yeah, good. And you might be, you know, a bicep muscle right now, and you might be really small, but as you continue to do the things that you're supposed to be doing, you get stronger. You become stronger. You become strengthened. Listen to what it says. It continues to say, in fact, some of the parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. There's some in this room, you pray every single day, God, I pray that people would encounter a real Jesus, that the Holy Spirit would invade their lives. That's your prayer every day. God, I pray for Sunday, or you're praying for me, or you're praying for our leadership, and we're getting in meetings, and we're feeling those prayers. We're being strengthened. We're praying things like, God, I pray that you would show up in people's lives, and they would encounter you. And you might think that's behind the scenes. Nobody's going, oh, look, thanks for praying. Nobody's doing those things. But you're not least important because it's behind the scenes. I'm a product of a mother that prayed, not always in front of me, not always directly to me did I know that, but I knew she prayed. Why? Because I arrived at some moment where I said, God, I can no longer do this on my own. Her prayers were answered as she was faithful and steadfast in what God asked her to do. Don't tell me that's the least important part. Just because you can't see it, or just because there's no microphone, or just because nobody can get the applause, that's just as important. Don't downplay. Don't downplay. Some of you may believe that the greatest rock band of all time is the Beatles. Anybody? Eight to 9 years of success, even though we know who they are today, but you know the reason they broke up is because they all realized they were pretty similar. Three of the four played guitar, all of them sang, and there was conflict. Yet you look at one of the other bands that I think is one of the greatest of all time, and U2, who 4 decades later are still going strong. There's only one voice on every album they've ever done. Who is it? It's Bono. Why? Because he knows who he is. The Edge playing guitar, he's the guitar guy because he knows who he is. 4 decades later, the longevity, the health, the concerts that are still... You can't argue with that. Why? Because something happens when you understand your role, that growth and longevity and long suffering, which the Bible talks about, is happening. You are enduring. You're pushing through. That doesn't mean they were never tired. That doesn't mean that they never made mistakes. That just means they kept going because they knew who they were. The reality is, a lot of times churches fail because we forget who we are. You're trying to be something you're not. Why? Why are we trying to be something we're not? Because we've seen something elevated, or we've seen something that we're like, I want to be that. That's not your role. That's not your role. Continuing on. Verse 25. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. So here's what it comes down to. When you, as a member of the body of Christ, suffer or hurt, we come alongside and we say, we hurt with you. We mourn with you. So much that the Bible says that the God of all comfort will comfort you as you comfort others. That the role that we play is that we comfort one another. And what happens? The body begins to strengthen as you mourn, as you suffer with, as you rejoice with. See, the tendency that the enemy would want us to do is to, instead of rejoicing with you, I'm going to be jealous of you. And I start saying things like, why him and not me? Why him? Or when people are suffering, we go, well, they do have sin in their life. Oh, they do have this in their life. Guys, that's the lie from the enemy. To what? To divide instead of multiply. You know what I've heard most of my life in church? Well, church is kind of clicky. People kind of gravitate to people they're similar to. Well, duh. Well, so hands are hanging out with hands, and feet hanging out with feet, and ears are hanging out with ears. We could go a lot of places with all this, so. And didn't Jesus do that? Jesus had 12 guys. 12 guys. One of them betrayed him. Three of them, the Bible says, Jesus really hung around. And one of them he really, really liked. Because that's our capacity. You can't have more than 12. So you can call that a clique all day long. I call it people being people. And us realizing that we play a role. And until you understand, and I think all of this comes down to this. It's not so much that you're mad at one another. I think it comes down to that you're mad at God. I think you're mad at the way God has gifted you, at the way that God has given you whatever, personality, body type, family life. It's not so much that I'm mad at you. It's the fact that I'm mad that God did this. We got to figure that out to be part of the body. Okay? And guys, I recognize and I want us to do something today as we conclude our service. And this is for anybody in this room, but I'm going to talk about two. You're in this room specifically and you're just going through it. Okay? Let me just say you're going through it. It's difficult. It's hard. I wouldn't say necessarily it's the hardest thing you've ever gone through, but it could be. It could be marital. It could be relational. It could be physical. But you're going through it. Can I tell you today, you're not the only one going through it. We are too. We are going through it together. I want to pray specifically for Jimmy today, who is going through cancer. It's unexpected, came out of nowhere, but we believe God that through Him, He's a healing God. I want to pray for the Van Bruzigans who are here represented today, who Van Brueghegan's, Thane, his brother, and his family are going through the accident that happened on Tuesday, where Thane's brother Brian lost his wife, 6 kids in the car accident, went through that tragedy, and some of the kids are still fighting, 2 specifically. Like, Jenny, we're going with that with you. We're going through it with you and the Webb family. Like, this is a community. This is what going through things are together. Similar to if someone came up and said, God gave me this job, I've been praying, we rejoice with you. We don't sit here and go, man, I wish God would give me a job. We go, awesome, God is faithful. We do this together because that's what it's about. And if it ever becomes not about it, these doors will be shut down and we will no longer exist. I don't want to be part of that. This is about doing it together. And some of you, it messes with your personality. It messes with you because you're private. You're just a private person. I don't want to bother anybody. Listen, I'm just telling you, God messes with that, okay? And it's not intentional. It's not to mess with your personality. It's to realization that we are to do life together, okay? We are. And so, Jenny, why don't you and the kids come up? Jimmy, come on up. Family, any family. Come on up. Anybody else in this room? Come on. This is an opportunity for us to come together and to pray. Okay? This is an opportunity for us to together. Come on. Come on. We can stand anywhere around. Okay? I don't mind chaos, you guys. I don't mind people all over the place. Anybody else in this room? You're going through it. You need prayer for something. Come on up. Come on up. And I want anybody in this room that, man, you believe in prayer, you believe in God intervening, you believe in God being faithful, and this won't be everybody. Obviously, we'll stretch hands as well, but I want you to come and gather around. Come on, come gather around. It's okay. Come gather around. Come on. Some of you just want to stretch a hand out. Awesome. Let's really go to bat right now. I want people to feel God through you. Come on, Jeff's just going to play. Maybe some of the other band, you can come. Come on, this space is okay. Come on, people need to feel that people got their backs. People are with them. People are with them. Come on, let's just begin to pray. Church, those of you that can't come, stretch a hand. Pressure should be off because we're not the healer. It's not my promise. It's not the church's promise. This is God's promise. That He meets us where we are. That His character is love. His character is peace. His character is healer. It's Him. It's us saying, God, we trust You. I mean, you guys, I'm not telling you this like crazy dream to get you to think like, oh my gosh, He's into weird things. I'm just telling you right now, like there's men and women surrounding, they don't even know each other. People that are embracing, people that are praying, people are saying like, I got you. I got your back. I don't know you, but I'm here. That is the body of Christ, you guys. That we have one another. That we resource one another. That we love where one another is. Listen, tragedy is going to happen. We don't understand it, but it also is an opportunity to be brought together. Listen, I say this often, this is not my saying. Miracles, we all want them. But the only way we have miracles is to be in position for a miracle to happen. Nobody wants that. Okay? But they don't happen unless we are in condition needing a miracle. And listen, again, I'm standing on God's promise because it's what He said, not what I said. Okay? So that's, we release that and say, God, this is You. This is You. Pressure on, God. This is Your promise. Prove to the world that You are the healing God. Prove to the world that You are the Savior. This is for Him and Him alone. And let it be a day where they say, can You explain what happened? And we just go, all I know is Jesus did this. That's all I know. All I know is Jesus did this. Doctor said this, Jesus did this. My counselor said this about my marriage, Jesus did this. My employees, my mom, my dad, they said this about me, but God says, you're my son, you're my daughter. Watch what I do. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. Amen? Can we say amen together? Amen. 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 You guys, in some orderly fashion, can try to have a seat.